or honor is humility. So pride is a sure way to get a wounded spirit. Oh my, that's what's being dealt with these days in so many of us, isn't it? The hurts that come through the blows, which just in turn are only diagnosing our pride. And we constantly realize innate proud people we are. The fourth is the tongue. And that is found in verse 21. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can say, well, my tongue doesn't hurt me, but it does. It says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. So, therefore, when I'm anybody or situations and grumbling and complaining and murmuring, I'm giving myself a wounded spirit. Murmuring is the fruit of rebellion against the situation, against ultimately God. When we are rebelling against something that's happened in our life, we're rebelling against the one who is the blessed controller of all things. And sometimes I think when we get caught up in traps that the enemy just has got it placed around for us to get caught in, and we start to pinch our toes in that trap, we need to just shout that God is the blessed controller of all things, and the enemy will let you go. You know, you just won't be still trapped. Myself going through something like this, these testings in a very, I'd say, deep and severe way, with my husband particularly, and I'm right with him in it, in situations at Lehigh. But perhaps because I once one place removed, I'm standing by Doug, but I'm not the first one who feels it as keenly as he, and partly because out of a sense of support for him, I'm on guard that the Lord will enable me to be a helpmeet in this time of testing for him. I'm very much waiting on the Lord, and I have time to meditate on the Lord and to draw near to God in a way that we battered in the heat of it at Lehigh. But I had an experience even this last week where I was at Lehigh in a lovely setting at the Bach Festival. In a passive moment, I wasn't on guard. I was just lost in that beautiful music. And therefore, all my really consciously armed with the armor of God, as I am when Doug comes home to report on the day. Then I know, Lord, what is your word? And I want to be the shield of faith, and you know, the helmet of salvation, and stand on the rock, and be constant in prayer, and the sword of the Spirit. I'm all ready for the battle. Not against him, but you know, with him. And at this moment, I was kind of just lost in the inspiration of the music, and you know, a passive mind, the enemy loves to come in, and before I knew it, I got thinking on some of the things that had happened and just found my heart and my feelings, and I tell you, I got a troubled spirit so deep down, and then I felt crushed for my husband. It's just being in this environment, spying certain ones and so on, that I could feel it. But thank God, I thought, now I can identify it with a little more compassion, how quickly. And then I thought, thank God, I realize the peace he's given, because I'm not suffering that all the time. And I just came right through to allow the enemy to dialogue with me on that level. I refuse to look at the negatives and to grasp them and to hold them and to nurse them. I am going to say, thank you, Lord, for what you've allowed. Thank you for what you have denied. Thank you, Lord, for plowing under. Thank you, Lord, for the new crop that you're going to grow in our garden. I just will speak the word of truth, the fact that so that if blows are given, God is the one who is holding the hand of those who blow. He is the one who's ultimately in control. And he intends a blessing in it. And so with that, that went away. Went away like that, and the peace and the joy came back. But how quickly we can get a wounded, because I have known what it is, that I'm specially on guard against it. But who wants to go something like that? There's enough in the world without adding another one, right? All right. Now, to heal others. How are we going to help to heal others? This is not a complete list by any means, but at least a little beginner. Verse 15 first. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. So that someone comes to you, and every one of us, I'm sure, has those who come to us with wounded spirits, then our first aspect of helping to heal them is not to immediately to our opinion. Yes, isn't it tough the way they've treated you? Yes, you know, and sympathize. And just add a few more logs to the fire that's already burning in their heart. No, our attitude is to listen in love to them and listen to the Lord for His wisdom. It's a very good time when your dear person who's suffering a wounded spirit to pray in the spirit. Then is the time just to pray in the spirit. You can listen with your full mind and hear what they're saying, and allow your spirit to intercede for them. I believe at that time God edifies you and gives you a word of wisdom so that you in turn can be a mouthpiece. Listening to them, it says in verse 18, the lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. How would I add that verse to the listening to God and listening to others? Because in the Old Testament, the lot, I'm sure they must have had some form of prayer, or at least it was a religion in which the decisions had to be made by lot. And it was understood Urim and Thummim were the types of lots, whatever, I don't understand too much about it, but they believed that however the lot fell, that was God's will. Now, as we said before, the last time we have the lot described in the New Testament was before Pentecost. After the one who leads us, we don't need luck to gamble our guesses as to what's right, what's wrong, what way we should go. Now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, who is our teacher. And we find that the disciples, after that experience at Pentecost, when they had a decision of importance to make, we don't find them casting lots. We find them praying, and we're finding this word, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. So likewise, we are praying in the Spirit, waiting on the Lord, sometimes fasting, and then the Holy Spirit speaks. And how does He speak? In verse 4, says, the words of a man's mouth are as the flowing brook. The second way of helping others is the word of wisdom. And we can read that lovely verse and say, well, it doesn't describe me. I'm not a wellspring of wisdom. I'm not a flowing brook. I can hardly get any words out or whatever. I don't know what the right advice is and so on. Well, we're again, after Pentecost, it's a gift. It's a gift of the Spirit. And if the Lord gives us a ministry, He gives us the equipment for it. So that if we are in the position of somebody on the phone. We had people yesterday, maybe four or five, who were just calling for help and counsel, even till we were in bed. And the Lord gave them. He gives the thoughts. It's true. We don't study them up. We don't know what we're going to be saying, but we just pray and we find He just gives those words. Sometimes very few words, you know. And I would also suggest a prayer. Always a prayer. Even on the telephone, they leave. We've seen talk, and nothing seems to get through. And a prayer, and it happens. It happens. It's just such a thrilling experience on Saturday night. A young Muhlenberg student came, who's been in, I believe, transcendental meditation and yoga and so on. But the words of wisdom had been given. And then the counselor left.
And with other students, he gave his life to Christ. And then we heard yesterday, he's causing such a rumpus that I think 5 of them are coming this Saturday for counseling. Who are into transcendental meditation. That are going to need wisdom. Would you like to help pray on that? And I really mean that. Now, the word of wisdom comes as with satisfaction in verse 20. I won't elaborate on that. And in the third section, to heal others, is verse 7 and verse 16. Let's just say verse 16. A man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. There are different interpretations of that one verse, but I would just like to make this interpretation, that a man's gift makes room for, it's a courtesy gift. There are two Hebrew words. One means a gift and one a bribe. This is what they call the courtesy or the innocent gift. It's the kind of gift that opens up a heart to you. And the another reference that goes with it is in chapter 21, verse 14, a gift in secret pacifieth anger. A gift in secret. Now that's the innocent gift, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. That's a bribe in the original. But a gift in secret pacifies anger. And I had someone even yesterday calling from a little way out of town wanting to know how to make a reconciliation with somebody who is angry with them and so on. And that scripture came to mind. And immediately they saw that that was a good way. I said, words won't do it. Don't try to straighten out the issue that's between you. Don't go at it headlong that way, because he's going to be defensive and so on. You won't hit it that way. Affirm him as he is. What he is wanting and needing is to be accepted right now the way he is, that you are going to prove to him you have already forgiven him and that you love him. Now, how can you do that? You do it by going and giving a gift. It can be a gift of hospitality or a gift of worth to the person. Offering them something which says, you are worth something to me. However that is, creative ways of expressing which the Holy Spirit will give to you and inspire you. All right, then, now healing ourselves. The three here, briefly. In verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is saved. All right, I just want to bring the point out that if you run into a tower in the name of the Lord, you are running in with your whole being, aren't you? Your whole self. That's a dedication. You take with you everything you've got, you and your problems, you dedicate to the Lord. All right? And it makes you safe from one problem that you had outside when you're trying to manage it on your own, in your own name. You're safe from vengeance. You're dedicating yourself, and you're dedicating the issue, whether it's a job or it's a friend or whatever it may be. And you're casting your burden on the Lord, and you're safe from taking vengeance in your own hands. That's the problem. If we have a wounded spirit, we're really battling. And we're determined some way, subtly or other, we're going to take the other person out. Even if it's a silent treatment, we're going to hand it to them. Some way, we're going to give back and make them pay for what they've done. But it says, wait on the Lord, and let him take vengeance. Let him take vengeance. So we run into that tower, and you don't attack while you're in a tower. Second thought is, after dedicating ourselves to the Lord, running into his name and by his authority, letting go our fame and so on and our concern, we have
humility. I think that it says in verse 12, before honor is humility. So we have a wounded spirit. So we're down. We need to be lifted up. We need to be exalted. But before God will exalt us and put us on our feet, we have to get down on our knees, right? Mm-hmm. And confess. Be meek enough to confess the sin that really is in us. Even though right now we've been totally absorbed in the sin that's been done to us. Now we come with a meek and humble spirit and say, Lord, the sin that's in us, will you forgive it? And sometimes the Lord gives outer wounds before he gives inner healing. I want to say, it says in chapter 27, verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. And the Lord may use a good friend to give an outer wound that you might have an inner, and I might have an inner healing. In chapter 20, verse 30, it says, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil. But it's only a skin deep wound that's got a blue bruise, right? It's skin deep. But the stripes inwardly, it's cleansing away. That blueness is evidence of a cleansing away of poison and so on. And healing process. And I've mentioned before how I had this friend one time and I was pouring out bitterness from a wounded spirit to this friend on the telephone. And I fully expected she'd say, oh, you poor thing, I do sympathize with you. That is terrible. And fancy getting that after all you've gone through and so on. I just imagined the soothing comfort I was going to get from my dear friend. And she said, fret not. Psalm 37. And I really encourage you to look up Psalm 37. It's a wonderful psalm if you're a wounded spirit or if you're battling one. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evil doers. It's not the evil in other people that God is your concern for God to cleanse away. It's your own evil that he's concerned about in ourselves. And just, and I'll give you this reference, but we won't look it up. 2 Samuel 7, 14 and 15, it says that he chastens with the rod of men. We've talked about that before. But, my mercy. The Lord allows us to be corrected with a few stripes and blows from the rod of men. And so that the blows we get along life's way, whether they come through employers or come through parents or come through husbands or whoever, friends, they are God's way of correcting us and cleansing away evil. But they may give us a little bruise in the process. And we are not to examine and think and feel that bruise, but thank the Lord for the sanctifying process going on. All right, and then the third way of healing ourselves, first to dedicate ourselves, secondly confess, and the third is thanksgiving. Where do I get that? In verse 20, where it says, a man's belly or innermost being shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And satisfied, words that satisfy. What are the kind of words that satisfy? Well, I think of Philippians 4, 8. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and so on. Think on these things. And if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, and I like Paul saying that, as if you may have to hunt for it. But is there some place, any virtue in the situation, any praise? Think on these things. And that is going to be the thanksgiving that will satisfy us. A healthy spirit wills to accept evil in two ways. One, as allowed by God, and two, as redeemable by God. All right. Just going to read you, in conclusion, a couple of references in the Old Testament. Zechariah, and it'd be difficult for you to find, so I will just read it to you. Zechariah 13, verse 6. Just listen, see if it doesn't describe you a little, maybe. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I want to say this, that the closer we are to family or friends, the more vulnerable we are to a wounded spirit. That's one thought. Our wounded spirits are more likely to come from those that are closest to us. All right? But it says at the very end of Proverbs 18, there is a friend, in verse 24, that sticketh closer than a brother. One who sticks closer than a brother. That friend, we know, is the Lord Jesus. And in Jeremiah 30, he said something very wonderful to us in prophecy. And we know it in reality. Jeremiah 30, 17 to 19, where it says, I will restore health unto you. I will heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord. Because they have called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Your name has been outcast, but no longer. And it says, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tent, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed songs of thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. In other words, he's going to restore, as it says in one translation, he's going to restore fortunes, he's going to give a song of thanksgiving, he's going to heal wounds, and whereas you've been known as an outcast in your own eyes or through somebody else's eyes, no longer you're going to be known as one belonging to the Lord. Now, he was speaking in a prophetic way to the children of Israel as a whole. But we have one lovely last illustration of where he applied it in one particular person where we can all go and identify. And that's in Job. And in Job 42, the last chapter, three things the Lord showed me here as I was reading it again. And that is, Job had a wounded spirit. He had a wounded spirit given to him by his friends. In the house of his friends, he had been wounded. It wasn't the enemies, but it was the friends that hurt him, because they came across in judgment and so on. And so what did God do? He reproved the friends after Job had humbled himself and repented. He first humbled himself and repented, because Job had seen and been able also to talk about all the wonderful truths of God, but he hadn't seen it for himself till God spoke. And finally he saw for himself that he could not argue with the Almighty. Till then he had been in rebellion, arguing with the Almighty. Why? 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 He suddenly stopped saying, why did these blows come? And he just came to the place where he said, I see who you are. Now my eye sees you. He was no longer looking at his wounds. He was no longer He was now looking at the Lord, his Redeemer, knowing that he lives. So with that, he repented. And then when he repented, God told him to pray for his friend. And what followed that? God healed Job. He also forgave the friend. It says he restored the fortunes of Job. And I love this. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning. So if you feel as if it's all over, you've lost it, the chance has been given and gone, the latter end is more blessed than the beginning.
What a friend we have in Jesus.